What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Pretty Girl Progression Podcast. I am your girl, Sherelle. If you are new here, welcome. I hope you stay. And if you've been here before, girl, welcome back. And as always, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Now, ladies, I have something special for you. I have created a free ebook, 10 Tips to Personal Development. So we're talking everything about doing your personal work, grounding in nature, and just self-love. I also created a 30-day devotional. We combine affirmations. Why? Because words are a powerful thing, and what you say to yourself matters the most. On top, combined with biblical verses and a message from me to you. So you can pick this up at www.prettygirlprogression.com today. Now, this helps support the channel, allows me to create events for us ladies, not just in the city, but the world, God willing. And yeah, so go ahead and support just by purchasing something today. Now, y'all, I have a very special guest. I've been waiting to sit down and talk to this woman, this powerhouse, for the longest, okay? Even when I was on my old podcast. So, not only is she a Haitian queen, a Florida native, a mother, a wife, a natural born comedian, okay? A miss, I go viral on any given day. Y'all, give me a round of applause to my girl, Karen.
Oh my God, what a production, girl. And you?
Karen, I've been waiting to sit down and talk to you because you just have that, like I always say, je ne sais quoi, that it factor. And I know I say this to every girl that has been on this pod, but they sit down with me. I truly believe in them. And you are that. Okay?
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Feeling.
Thank you.
How are you feeling, my love?
I'm feeling great. I love this energy. You just transfer all that in because I was like, oh, it's 6 o'clock. It's off of work. Girl.
I already transferred.
Yeah, you just transferred all the wonderful energy from me, and you look so beautiful, and I'm excited for all of this.
Yes. Okay, so for the people who do not know Karen, how would you describe yourself in so many words?
Can we curse? We can't curse, right?
Do it a mild version, because we know you gotta get the monetization and all the
You know what I'm saying? Let's keep okay. I'm going to keep it a Karen, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a Karen today, not that Karen. How would I describe myself? I would say I'm a live in the moment type of girl, you know what I'm saying? I'm a girl's girl, you know, I'm a girly girl. Like, I also can roll with the big dogs, okay? But, you know, I'm definitely living a moment on my motherly, you know, vibes and get money and just here to uplift. Like, I'm just they call them unicorns, but not that type of unicorn. I'm just like
a unicorn. Like, you are like a one in a million type of person. So right? I wanted to title this like past, present, and future, because I feel like you've lived many lives, okay? Like, it's such a short amount of time. So let's take it back. How would you describe like preteen Karen, teenage Karen?
So, oh my God. So I've been on my own since I was 16. Mm-hmm. So there was no preteen Karen. I was an adult from when I was like little. I was getting myself up, doing my own hair, going to school at a very young age. But yes, I was on my own since I was 16. So I was, you know, trying to figure out a way to pretty much survive as a teenager. So that molded me into becoming a woman younger than, you know, saying anyone would like or anticipate it. But
how were you on your own at 16? That's a young age. You know, you just getting on your cycle. There's just so many changes. You're still in high school. Like, what prompted that?
So I ran away from home. You know, I ran away from home. It was a little bit of abuse going on. So I ran away. I was like, not today, not tomorrow. I'm done with this. And I left. I left. My boyfriend from Immokalee came and picked me up in the middle of the night. It was during the summer. He came and picked me up. And we just rode off into the sunset being homeless together for the next 2 years, girl.
What?
Like somebody saw his mom was like, yo, I see Emmanuel, rest in peace to Emmanuel, because he just passed like a year ago. So yeah, he died, and it was just a horrible situation. But they were like, oh, I see Emmanuel and Karen walking down the street. Why would you do that to them? She kicked me out because I was a runaway. So I tried to stay at his house, but we got caught. So that's why I said we were homeless for the
They're
following.
out.
His mom was like, where'd you come from? I literally was hiding in a closet every time she came to his room. Like I was there for like a week and she didn't know. Then we finally got caught, and that's when she kicked us out. But when he picked me up, we went straight to his house. But girl, that was a whole situation. So they're like, yeah, I see them walking outside. Why would you do that to your son? She was like, well, if you love her, I see you went to stay out with her, even though you got a home here, so you must really love her, so she could stay. And then I ended up staying with their family for the next 3 to 5 years.
Were they Caribbean?
They Haitian, absolutely.
That's rare.
That's my mom. Like, I love that lady to this day. Even though I moved on in my life, like, that's my lady. I love her for taking me in. Unfortunately, again, her Emmanuel did pass away last year.
Oh
So,
man, rest in door.
Rest in peace.
So let me, okay, because I watch a lot of I don't know if you ever heard of Soft White Underbelly, but he. Okay, so we're here. And there's episodes on Soft White Underbelly where they talk about runaways. And I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that process. You mentioned abuse. So was it abuse where it was so intolerable, like discipline, or was it like disciplinary abuse, where it's like
No, it
okay.
was sexual abuse. It was sexual abuse. It was sexual abuse. Pretty much for like a whole year from when I was like, I don't know, I'd say 12 to 16 maybe, till I ran away. And then one day I was just like, I'm just not doing it no more. And I just
Right. And there was no one else you can go to, like another family member, cousins, aunts.
I didn't want to be accessible. I didn't want to have to explain my side of the story again. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to like have to go through. I just wanted to start completely fresh, start completely new. I didn't want to hear no aunties and everybody trying to handle the situation in-house. Like I wasn't trying to do all of that, because at the end of the day, what will happen in the house is he will still be there and I will still be in my room because I'm a minor. And I
Wow.
didn't want to have to deal with that. So I left.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So let me ask you this. So any girl currently or a woman who's gone through, because I've gone through sexual abuse, and honestly, when I think about it, like I don't like to compare my situation to anyone else, because I always say, like, thank God, like it's never been like penetration. I don't know where I would be if it was. I really don't even know if I would have had the strength and resilience. Only God knows, right? So everybody's path is their own path. But I remember going through a situation like that with a family member, and I went to my closest people, my mom, my siblings, my uncles, and it's not that it was swept under the rug, but it was kind of like, okay, we addressed it, now we're moving on.
Move on.
And that's kind of heartbreaking. So like, what advice would you give to a girl who's like currently going through that, and they're at a young age on top of it?
It's hard to, like you said, everybody's journey and everybody's situation is different. But the advice that I would give is to not keep it to yourself. Is to definitely talk about it, whether you're talking to, anybody about it. Not only, are you getting yourself help, but you never know, you might be helping somebody else or giving them the courage to come out with their story as well. I used to not say anything about it, very secretive about it, and a lot of other things in my life, being shot, being homeless, like all that stuff was just stuff that I would keep to myself because I needed to heal. But not knowing that talking about it, starting my YouTube channel, starting everything is what helped me heal from all of those situations. So my advice would definitely be to talk about it. Talk
Absolutely.
about it, be very vocal, and stand 10 toes down. Stand on what you say. That's how you can get through it for you. Nobody's understanding what you're feeling but yourself. Stand on what you say. If this is what's happening, if you're, say how you feel, straight up. No matter how little you are, keep it respectful to your mother, of course, and people. But you know what I'm saying? It comes to a point where if those are the people that you're trusting and are not believing you, you have to find a different route, find a different outlet. But talk about it. Do not keep it enclosed.
I would say the same thing, because I remember when I was going through it, instantly, I just was quiet. I was shut off to the world. My grades started dropping. I was so focused on what just happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't get past it until my ex-boyfriend, when I was in like high school, I just moved to Pembroke Pines from living in Dade all my life. And he told me how his stepbrother violated him. And to hear a boy going through this from a stepbrother was like, and the way I started crying about it, he was like, something happened to you too. Go home, leave here right now and go tell your mom.
Oh my God.
11th grade.
I like him.
Yeah. He was an angel. He was an angel for me for sure. Because if not him, you know, telling his truth, I would have just
stuck
to silence. So definitely speak your truth and
truth.
Don't make it comfortable for them. You uncomfortable, don't make it comfortable for them either.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Man, okay, so now you're homeless. You're with your boyfriend, but now you guys are back into his mama's house.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? Especially a Caribbean household, like what?
That was my baby. I mean, everything was good for a moment. Everything was good for a while. I can honestly say that man ain't, I've never seen nobody go hard for me as him, besides my husband now. But nobody has ever gone hard for me as hard as he did. Things got a little volatile, which was the, you know, demise of our relationship. But we've always kept in contact. We've always stayed cool. But the whole time I was there until I moved out, I was welcomed. It was a good space for me before it got abusive. That also became abusive, physical abuse. Mm-hmm. But so, I forgave him, and you know.
So how did you get shot? Like what?
Girl, I was at the wrong place. This is my other life, okay? This is, I'm back in Miami life. I'm living with my trap boyfriend in 183rd and Murder Gardens. I was a correctional officer and living with a whole trap. Dude. Girl.
And Karen lived many
lives. Yeah, girl, that's moving on. That's after Emmanuel, okay? That's 19. That's 1920. I got shot when I was 21. So that's 1920 era, okay? Emmanuel was like 16 to 19. And then Dade County is about 19 to like 20, 21, 22.
So, okay. Wrong place, wrong time. Walk me through that. Like, what happened? Because clearly you're here, the Lord. Like, what?
No, can nobody tell me God ain't real? I said, every time this is a story that actually made me go viral on my YouTube and my TikTok was when I adopted my daughter. But my YouTube, this is a story that actually helped me go viral. I did this story and I got millions and millions of views. But long story short, the dude that I was dating was cheating on me at the time. So I was like, who can play that game? But I'm finna do it worse. So I started to holler at his homeboy. Girl, so we was all going out that night and I was taking them to some type of party in the Bab. And I got there and we was trying to get in, but the security guard wasn't letting us in, but they was letting everybody else in. So as soon as we turned around to walk to the car, baby, all I was... When I look back, I see two boys with two guns, and it was four guns. Everybody had a gun in their hand, just shooting. And I ran, and I tried to pull my purse onto my back, and that's when I felt the bullet go through me. So it went in my back, and it came out of my armpit. And I'm praying, because it just felt like somebody punched me. It just felt like somebody, like, knocked me, tried to knock the wind out of me. It didn't sting. None of that. I'm praying to God as it happened. I'm like, please God, tell me I just get shot. Please God, tell me I didn't get hit. Please God, tell me I didn't get hit. I made it all the way to my car, got in my car, sat in the back seat of my car, called the boy who I was cheating on. I was like, just go. And then the girl that he was cheating on me with was in his background. Like, you want me to take her to the hospital? And he was like, nah, she's straight. Girl, yes, girl. So the person that I was with also got shot. And he got in my car, tried to drive to the hospital. Didn't work. We ended up pulling over, called 911. And we went to the trauma center. And everybody was like, why aren't you crying? And I was like, I really don't understand. I did not know understand or why I wasn't crying at that moment. But
why do you think you weren't crying?
I don't know. Till this day, I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. I can't figure out. Girl, they cut up my dress, girl. I was naked up in the ambulance. I was like, let me get a blanket. It's cold. I was cracking jokes with the EMT guys. They was calling me Little Tupac because I literally was not crying. So when I did cry, though, was when I realized that I didn't have anybody to pick up my car from the crime scene. I didn't have anybody to, you know what I'm saying, like, console me, talk. His family all came to the hospital. I had nobody there, only him. His mom was like, let's go. He's like, no, I'm not leaving her here. She ain't got nobody. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to cry. I was like, dang, I'm really out here thugging it in these streets. I need to change my life. Wow. And my grandma was like, I'm going to Haiti, and I'm not leaving you in these streets. I heard you got shot. I need to go to the grocery store. Come to take me to the grocery store so we can have a conversation. Girl, okay. I want to take the lady to Bravo, okay? This lady took my car and drove me all the way to Coral Springs to my mama's house with the same man who was raping me to have a conversation with her. And I ended up being stuck there. But girl, I ran away again. I left again because I'm not going to sit in that house with you again. Like, get out of here. But yeah, long story short.
What do you think the resilience in, like, this? You just had this spirit of, you not going to break my soul.
Girl, I have no idea where it comes from. My God.
Yeah.
My God. That's the only explanation that I have for that. Because I really can't tell you myself. I step out and look and think like, no, for real, girl, you really done been through.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, okay.
Survived and you're here.
That's future, y'all. Just hold on, okay? Because now you're. When did you move out of your ex's house? You know, when did you move out, and then what did that look like? Did you go move on your own? Did you get
one after getting shot, or Emmanuel?
Yeah.
So Emmanuel was cheating on me. So yeah, I was a correctional officer. I was a correctional officer there too. I got my car when I was 18. My best friend took me to get my driver's license. I started working at the correctional facility when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I started working at the correctional facility when I was 19. So I had my car, and Emmanuel was cheating on me at the time. So he drove to Tampa. And when he left to Tampa, I left back to Miami, and I went to Gene's house, the person who I was with when I got shot. So his family and my family were very close, and that was just somewhere that I went, and I ended up.
Do you know who shot you?
No, it was some boy. He was 17 years old at the time, but he had some real yaya name, like probably some Darius, Dontavius, something. It was some very weird name. I honestly look it up. I look up that story. I try to find it. I have not found it since. I always keep looking to see what happened, but I can't find it. I can't find the story on nowhere. I looked on all the newspapers. I cannot find the story of that night.
When did you even heal from that? Like, how long was the healing process?
So because the bullet went through me, it was a few months. I have a big old keloid on my back now from it. It was probably a month, if that, for it to close. Not even. And yeah, that was.
What was your biggest lesson from that whole situation? What do you think your biggest lesson coming out of that was?
Mind your business. If he want to cheat, let him cheat. Go ahead and go. It's not worth your life to try to play with these men, baby. These men ain't worth it. Okay. All this, I'm bigger, I'm better. Yeah, that's cute, but baby.
No, Fendi facts.
No, for real. Stop playing with these men. Stop wasting your time. Stop trying to prove something to these men that you can get them back, or you better, or you that, or you this. it's not worth it. They're not worth your time. They're not worth your energy. There's somebody over there that will do what that will do way better times 10 on your worst day. Okay. On your worst day, somebody will worship the ground you walk on and kiss your feet after you don't be walking in dirt. Okay. There was somebody that will do it. Trust me. So don't waste your time, girl, because he ain't worth your life.
These
people are crazy. Y'all don't watch Fatal Attraction? These people crazy. Don't waste your time on these men.
That's real. Because women will go and be like, no, that's mine. I put up all this time, this effort, this, you know, paying for this, doing that.
At the end, yours.
It don't take all day to recognize sunshine. If he don't want you, let him be. Because I believe, like grandma always says, a man should love you more than you love him. Because Absolutely. You can see how he shows up for you. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So all of that, it brings me to this. You are married. Now, we're going to get into business because she is the owner. Karen's the owner of shop.
Okay.
Y'all see one of my outfits on season one that I wore from your boutique, Chef Kitty. Okay. But now you are married. You have a child also. Mm-hmm. And adopted your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that, like the family life of Karen, that dynamic. First things first, you adopted a baby girl.
Yeah, I got her when she was 12. The adoption became final when she was 16, and she's 18 now. So
who, what, when, where, and how, and why? Like, what was that about? How old were you? And what was the whole process that now you're adopting a child?
It all happened by accident, to be honest. Her grandma and my grandma were friends.
Okay.
Her grandma went to Haiti, got stuck in Haiti. So I pretty much just took over till she got back. You know what I'm saying? School had started, so I got her school clothes, and her and her uncles and her aunt had helped me. Well, one of them, one uncle, one aunt, I'm forever grateful for them, helped me get her started in school. And grandma ended up coming back and was just like, look, I have these heart problems. I have this, I have that. If you want to keep her, you could. And I was like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'll keep her for the week. Like, we had a verbal understanding of when she would go over there, when she would stay. Her mom ended up passing away. Her biological mom ended up dying. And that's when the case opened, and it needed somebody to like be a legal guardian. So DCF actually put me through the process to become a level one foster mom. So I did all of that, and then the adoption, because they needed to close the case. So they did everything for me.
And on your TikTok, like, y'all, Karen got over like 300,000 people on her TikTok. TikTok is very entertaining. Like, pulling and laughing my ass off. Like, God. Okay, that's the thing.
Oh, my God.
But you ended up telling a story about, I think you went on a birthday trip, and then you had to fly back. So tell us about this, because that had my mind like, what?
But that's what actually got me viral on TikTok. So, yeah, it was my birthday trip. So I'm the type of person, like, me and this particular aunt was having communication, you know, as far as when we're going to pick up. When the kid is in DCF protection, you have to report the child to DCF. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want her to be at a foster home that nobody knew when you have an aunt. When you have family, just go to your aunt's house for the weekend. So that was the understanding. It was my birthday. We were going to Colombia, me and my best friend. We were going to Colombia. So I called the aunt. I said, hey, I'm going to Colombia. You can pick her up for the weekend. I'll be back on this and this day. She said, yeah, sure. That's fine. No problem. I was like, okay, girl, you're going to go with your auntie for the weekend. She's going to come pick you up. And Joanna is like 13 at the time. So she can stay home by herself in the state of Florida. Okay. So, girl, I get to the airport. No, I get on the flight. I'm like, we drinking at the airport. We having a whole blast. Come to find out, as soon as the plane lands, my phone is going off, going off, going off, going off. And I'm like, what the heck? DCF is like, Karen, Adriana's aunt called the police because you left her home alone. You have 24 hours to get back to the States, or we're going to hold you in contempt for child abandonment. The lady ain't never go pick up her niece and left her there. So it can look like I left the kid alone by herself while I went out of the country. Luckily, I had the text messages. Luckily, I had everything that was there, which saved me. But yeah,
Yes.
turn around and get right. I left my best friend on that trip by herself. And because we ain't finna waste all the money, you know what I'm saying? And I turned around, got a $600 ticket one way back home, same day, so I could get my baby from these people.
Wow.
It disgusting. It was this, it was like, it was disgusting. And I haven't seen these aunts or nothing until after her mother died. Like, where were you guys before? She
Right.
has like four or five aunts. Like, where y'all was at?
Yo, the true colors of people really come out, like, and it's insane.
She's like, oh, I wasn't ready to take on a daughter. You already got two kids, number one, and I wasn't either. I was 30 at the time. Like, I wasn't 29. I was like 29, 28. I wasn't ready to take on no kid. I just had my kid, my son. I wasn't ready to take on a daughter.
I was gonna ask you that. So you had your son, Kyle. Like, he's so cute. Like,
Not
literally your
really.
son. Okay. So you have, like, how do you even explain to your firstborn, like, you're gonna have a sister? How do you even have that conversation? What's that like?
Well, Kyle was he was a kid. What, Kyle? So I had Kyle when I was 20. So Kyle was like 4 or 5 years old. He kind of was just like, okay, who is this girl? When he got older, he realized, I was like, this is your sister. And you know what I'm saying? He understands what's going on now. So they call each other brother and sister. And it's just like, that's my sister.
Yeah.
Talk to me nice. I don't want to hear nothing about it. That's all.
Oh
It
my.
wasn't really a conversation. You know how Haitians are. We just kind of like weave things in. But he's gonna be 10, so I'll probably have that adoption conversation with him. But I still want him to not see it as an adoption and just see it as his sister.
The
See
sister.
her. See her as
Does
his
he even know like how big you are through social media? Does he have
sister.
any?
Yes, because when we go to Publix. When he go to McDonald's, they be like, "Hey, from TikTok," or he'll be, or they'll say hi to him. They'll be like, "Hi, Kyle," and mama, and he'll be like, "Mom, am I famous?" And I'll be like, "Yes, Kyle, you're famous."
Yes.
He was like, "Really? I am." I say, "Yeah, you're famous, Bob." He was like, "Nah." I'm like, "How did they know your name? Do you know that person?" He was like, "Shoot," but that's also dangerous, which is why I keep my kids off of my social media now. I deleted most of the stuff off my Instagram and most of the stuff off my TikTok. I kind of keep off. But, you know, I wish somebody would try because me and Dwakiana will always be ready if anybody
Okay.
wants to try anything. But to avoid it, you know what I'm saying? It's really, it's
Go on, yeah.
Dwakiana, that's my bestie. Me and her, we go way back, baby.
Oh my God. Okay, so you have gone through like running away, abuse, being shot. You have a son. You have now adopted a daughter. You get married.
Yeah, last what 422 22?
I love y'all relationship. When I see y'all online, like your husband is cooking, he brings shots in the bed. Like I went to your surprise birthday party and he was very intentional, like in the DMs, like I'm having this party, don't tell her. Like that's what we talk about when we say if a man love you, if he wants to, he will. So just sprinkle a little love joy for the girls who just think they have to like bend over backwards and do all this extra stuff and bring the whole damn table to the relationship. Just sprinkle a little love for them. What's
Baby,
that?
yeah, he'll be coming. I've known him since we were kids, since we were about in our teens. I met him a while back. He used to work at Signature Grand with my stepfather, and we went to like one of their company parties, and that's when he saw me, and he just was like always texting my brother about, I'm gonna be your brother-in-law, I'm gonna be with your sister. And he has been my rider throughout. That's somebody that I never lost contact with. Through being homeless, through being raped, through being everything, I've never lost contact with him. Like, he done so much for me. Like, I can't even, he's done so much for me. Like, I can't even, like, count. And, like, I've never had nobody go so hard for me. And, like, he paid for, like, my therapy type,
Wow.
like, Come you, on. Girl. Like, that was one. Like, he re-ups on my makeup. You know, I'm a makeup artist. He re-ups on my makeup for me. Like, he knows the exact color of the foundation that I'm out of to go re-up on that specific foundation for me. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, that man, I won't have to lift a finger 90% of the day. Sometimes I'd be like, okay, you need to chill because I need to act like I need to be a wife or a girlfriend or something because you taking it away from me because I feel like I don't do nothing because you do it all. He does it all. I come home from work, dinner's done, and he works too. And it's like, yeah, and he cooks so good. It's just, he's just an all-around great person.
The food looks great. You be having fresh flowers, like a bouquet.
Bouquets, like big handmade personalized bouquets with like my name on them and lights and all type of LEDs. And I'll be like, sir, in the back of my mind, I'll be like, what you need? You need something because ain't no way. But nothing comes up. Nothing comes up. I mean, it hasn't always been this way. Trust me, it's been very, it's a struggle. It was a struggle. It wasn't always this good, but keep fighting at the end of the tunnel.
Okay, because I was going to be like, what advice would you give? I'm taking advice. I'm in a new relationship, but what I've learned is continue to fight for what you want. As long as it's healthy. As long as it's healthy. Fighting for, continue to fight. So, yeah, give us some like gems on what makes you keep going even through the hard times.
Just remember the good times. That's all that I did. And I remembered like during hurricane season, he'll just come and bring me waters and again, like do the stuff that he did. So I would know that whatever we're going through right now, I would remind myself of all the stuff that he's done and the type of person that he truly is. And it probably is. And it's a lot to handle. It's a lot to handle when you're trying to keep a woman happy. So it's we're just like somebody is pouring into you, they're diminishing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm pouring all of this love and all of this stuff into you and I'm not getting none of that back, like, what do I have to fuel? I don't have no fuel. So I have to take a step back and be like, dang, he's doing all of this. Am I doing enough to fuel him? Is what's going on? Is what's, you know what I'm saying? Are we meeting in the middle? Is there a medium here for the both of us to be able to continue to feed into each other? So that's pretty much, I just got to make sure that, you know, you doing it right, you cooking, you know what I'm saying? You loving on him, rubbing his feet, rubbing his little beard or whatever, girl, you know, do his little hair sometimes, touch his skin. They be liking that stuff. They want to act hard, but they be liking that stuff, okay? And you'll be fine. Trust me, you'll be fine.
Being in the arms of a woman who loves you. I can only see a man. When a man is in love with a woman, there's just nothing they won't do. So
absolutely. Vice versa.
So, okay. So you mentioned him replenishing your makeup because I met you. You're a makeup artist and now you had a boutique and you went online, which I thought was very smart. Okay. But let's talk about the business side of caring.
So,
doing makeup, like what made you start doing makeup and then you go into your boutique?
I felt like I was just going in a direction that the Lord was leading me to be honest. Makeup started when I was pregnant with my son. Or no, I just had my son and I was off of work. That 3-month time period they give you, short-term disability and, you know what I'm saying, to raise your... One of the girls was like, can you do my makeup? I literally was just playing, but she posted my work on Facebook at the time. And girl, I had like 9 clients that day. So I had to rush to Walgreens, girl, get all these different foundations, mix and stuff. And girl, I thought I was a scientist up in there. I was just like, okay, I was Picasso for real. And that's just how the makeup life came into play. And I just kept getting bookings and I just kept getting booked and booked and booked. Yeah. And more opportunities came based on, you know, more.
Okay. So as a new makeup artist, right? I've seen you on sets. You've worked with, did you work with Ross? No, you work with Wyclef.
I worked with Ross, Wyclef, mm-hmm. Jesse Wu.
That space.
It's all about who you know. That's to tell you that. It's
not always about what you know, but who you know.
I feel like it's 90, 8% about who you know.
I agree.
Because, you know what I'm saying? I feel like people's work who wasn't up to par would, you know what I'm saying, get these type of gigs. And people's, you know what I'm saying? Because it all depends, like, on who you know. It's word of mouth. Oh, I have this person. Oh, she's a makeup artist. Oh, and that's pretty much how I got in. I got in through a makeup artist who couldn't do the shoot. And she was like, oh, I have a makeup artist. Can you fill in? And then I filled in, and then I, you know what I'm saying, was myself, and they put me on their Discord and I was just flew. It just took off. Yeah.
Were you scared? Like, especially working with celebrities? Cause I don't know, something about when we switch up, when you see somebody of this like status, you're like, oh my God.
Were you scared? I mean, girl, I think I'm a celebrity, okay? I'm not even going to hold you. I think I'm a celebrity. So I wasn't really scared, per se. Like, I've seen people. Like, I've seen Usher in real life. I've seen, like, Aaliyah. Back in the day, I was a little kid. Yeah, I was a little kid. But I've seen people in real life. So I know how to act. In my stomach, I'd be like, oh, my God. And I'd be trying to, you know, sneak a little picture on the low. But I feel like I'm a celebrity, and I get that, and I, not to sound conceited, but
you
have
like
to present yourself. You have to look a certain way. I went to New York Fashion Week, girl. I didn't have a ticket or a place to sleep, okay? I put on my glasses, honey. I had on them high boots, baby, and I was walking. Do you not know they let me upstairs to VIP because they thought I was somebody? And the security guard apologized to me. He was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know who I am either, but he let me upstairs. I met Erykah Badu, I met Khalees, I met Trevor Jackson, I met Mac Wilds, I met everybody up there. You got to present yourself and carry yourself a certain way, because that's when people will be like, okay, I don't know who she is, but she's somebody. I get that all the time. Just present yourself that way. You a celebrity too, okay? They're going to come to you.
Absolutely.
So no, I wasn't really scared.
I love that you say that, because, you know, being on South Beach, working on South Beach, walking in the clubs, I never had to pay money to walk into the clubs, right? And I'm always like, y'all, just walk as if we're supposed to be here. Head up, chest out.
Okay. Hello.
They'll move. They'll open they'll part the seats for you, okay?
They sure will.
So the confidence. Now, let me ask you a question, because all the things that's happened in your life, like God has been a theme. Has there ever been a point where you doubted God? And if so, what did that look like?
Yeah. Was there? I was in my feelings. I was going through the breakup with my baby daddy child. That was the lowest moment of my life. And I felt like I lost everything. I lost him. I lost my car. I was going through eviction at the time. Like, that's probably my lowest moment, but I don't think that I doubted God. I don't think there's ever been a moment where I doubted God. I feel like that was just the low year, 2019. I always say I'd rather get shot again than go through 2019. Wow. I did not want to feel how I felt in 2019. So that was the lowest point in my life. But I wouldn't say I doubted God. I was asking for healing. I was praying all day, which is probably why I got to where I am, you know? So no, I wouldn't say that I doubted God, but there was times where I was a low point in my life and just asked God to, you know what I'm saying, for forgiveness and healing.
I feel like because you show up as your authentic self in every room and every situation, God knows you. God notices you. Oh, that's Karen. Go ahead. That's how, when I look at you, when I talk to you, anywhere I see you, I'm like, God recognizes you. And I always say, I want God to know me. I don't want to get to the pearly gates and him like, oh, I don't recognize you, baby.
Right?
I can't even imagine. So you are... So now you are a owner. And on top of that, you have like a yearly sip and shop. Like, let's talk about entrepreneur, Karen. On top of working a regular job, you are an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. Like,
yeah.
What has been the most fulfilling thing as far as being an entrepreneur? And what has been the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur?
I'm going to do the hardest first, which is to not give up. to keep going and to keep doing it. I have sit in shops where two people showed up and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this no more. I'm done. These people playing with my time. I'm just not doing it anymore. But, you know, the next one, I did a next one. I did a next one. I did a next one. The hardest part would be not giving up, knowing your craft, knowing what you're blessed with, and just to keep going. Just stopping it is probably the worst thing you could do as an entrepreneur. It's not going to work overnight. Nothing's right. ever going to work overnight. So keep going, keep pushing. But yeah, I do have sip and shops every quarter, every 3 months. Black-owned businesses or minority-owned businesses. I have all types of people that'll come out and, you know, get a table. I have the DJ from DJ Hercules 99 Jam. Shout out to her. She always holds me down and does these sip and shops, their brunches. So I have, you know, food, good Haitian food, macaroni and cheese, waffles, you know, I had a lot of stuff and we just kind of network, you know, people where you can network. And I have a lot of people that meet people. Some of my vendors go off and do their own sipping shops. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I wanted to do for, you know, us, the community, instead of being against each other or, you know what I'm saying? I have other makeup artists that come in, set up their lipstick lines or set up their cosmetic lines, because it's all about, again, who you know. That's you knowing somebody, that's you getting recognition for your own business, and you never know who you're gonna meet and who can take you to the next level. So that's why I have my sipping shops. Very, very chill, very nice vibe, you know. And
it really is. So I went last year. And girl, first of all, the food was fire. The support was incredible. I got to see people through the networking cycle in like Miami and stuff. So that mm-hmm. was cool. In touch with some of the people. I just love how you don't gatekeep. I love how you embrace everybody. So where'd you get that willingness to support and want to build community? Have you always been like that? Like, I want to build community.
I feel y'all probably gonna laugh at me, but it's only because I'm a Leo. That's it. That's my explanation. I'm a Leo. We have big hearts, we have big energy, and we love to give. We love to give and we love to give. However we could give to the community, we're gonna figure it out. However we could give to our children, our families, we're gonna figure it out. We just have big energy and big vibes, and we want things to be done with integrity, the right way. And it's just what it is, and have fun along the way doing it. Like, I really wholeheartedly feel it's because it's my personality. It's just in my blood. I don't have no real logic, no deep answer for that. It's just because I'm a Leo, baby, big Leo.
I want to ask you also, like, how have you found a way to reinvent yourself? Because every time I see you, it's something new happening, but you stand on it. Like, this is where I'm at and we rolling with it. So how have you found a way to read it? Like, what does that even look like for you?
That looks like catching the sunrise off Fort Lauderdale Beach. Okay. Ooh. with my journal, with my planner, and just sitting there with my eyes closed and asking the Lord, what's the next step? Where are you taking me? Show me where you want me to go. Show me who you want me to meet. And, you know, I'm going to drive on this drive back home. That drive back home after I meditate and I'm manifesting and I'm writing down is like where everything just hits me. So that's how I reinvent myself, is really meditating and staying grounded and just like, you know, the manifestation of things.
I feel like everybody that I've talked to thus far, or some people who I listen to on YouTube, the connection is always God, prayer, manifesting, being grounded, being in nature, just being one with yourself, like focusing on yourself on top of having that connection with God and that relationship. It's difficult. It's like you want to win, have a relationship with the Lord and mean it, you know? I love that. Okay, so we can talk for days, but I wanted to ask you this because you are a Haitian queen, and I've been on my platform. Like, I've never been to Haiti. I cannot wait to go to Haiti. I know I know.
Haiti's bad right now, though.
It's exactly. So it's like when I'm like, okay, I'm an adult. I want to go. I travel anyways. They're like, this ain't the time to go. So how do you keep the tradition going for like your kids? Because I realize with my nieces and nephews, they don't speak a lick of Creole.
Neither
And
does my girl.
I'm surprised
My
because you
son know
speak.
about two words. And I feel so ashamed. My son know about two words. I be trying. He know femme tête papa. He know that. Okay.
Over and over.
Okay. He know femme tête papa. Fouet con. He know that. He know salope. You know. He know a few things. But as far as holding a conversation, he be like, I don't speak Creole, mom. I don't speak Creole, and I hate that. So, he's 9 now, so I'm gonna still try my best to like interpret Creole in the household. But you know, we new generation Haitians. Like, we don't have a grandma in the household who don't speak English. You know what I'm saying? That's how I learned. I learned through speaking to my grandma, like, 'cause she don't speak no English. That's it. We don't have no grandmas or no aunties that live with us that don't speak no English. So the Creole in the household is gone. Like, you're speaking English to. Or everybody around you know how to speak the language, but you're speaking English to everybody around you. So how is anybody gonna learn it? I literally only speak Creole when I talk to my grandma in Haiti. That's it. On WhatsApp. That's it. I don't speak Creole nowhere else.
No.
Nowhere else. I try, but.
I know what you mean by like the grandma. So when my mom's mom, I lived with her for a little while, and when she passed away when I was like 7 years old, my dad's mom and dad would take care of us. Like when I tell you, they would try to speak Creole to us, and it's like I lost it over time because then it's like I'm responding to you in English, so I only know a few things, and I'm like, oh, I want to keep the tradition going, but I need to be better. Like, okay,
You
so let me
gotta.
count my I can count to five. Okay, so. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq.
Six, seven, eight, nine,
I
ten.
haven't gotten there yet, Karen.
What? Gotta know at least 10. I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, what about gagot? What does gagot mean?
Gagot means like. Dang, I know the word. It's like silliness, like what for God got? Like you making a mess type
Yes.
thing is what I good.
Okay, what about desert?
Désordre means bad, like you a bad kid. Like that's don't do bad. Pas faire désordre. Don't do wrong, don't do bad.
So I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But to all my girls, if y'all want to like willingly help me and teach me, please, okay? Because when I go to Haitian restaurants and clubs, I'm just like,
You be like, can I get some griot and some black rice? That's what you say, huh?
I say, bezwe, dilly, bezwe. So very like Americanized, like.
Girl, you better speak to mommy like to your grand mommy. It's like Cousin Shelly.
I
You get
know.
grill, you fat palate there.
Okay, I gotta do better. We gotta do better because
We
time,
gotta do better.
for sure,
For
the
sure,
money.
for sure.
So okay, so I want to ask you. I meant to ask you this earlier, but when we were talking about death, I'm not trying to make it a somber moment, guys. Just bear with me. I haven't had a lot of people who really passed in my life, right? Very close to me. How has it been dealing with death in your lifetime? You know, experiencing that. What's that feeling like?
So Emmanuel was actually the person closest to me who passed away. I had a cousin that died a while back too, though, but I feel like Emmanuel was a real close person that passed away. It's hard. Like I didn't, and I thought about after he passed away, even now I still think about, I'll still see pictures and it's still mourning is a very long thing to have to
Right.
go through. Like you never know when you're gonna be healed. Something will happen and it's a trigger. I heard a song the other day and it triggered me and I thought about Emmanuel. So that's he was pretty much the closest thing, and I feel like I've been doing pretty okay because that I moved on from him for a very long time. Like I have moved like this was a teenage relationship. So we moved on from each other for a very long time. So it was kind of easier for me. But all I kept thinking about was like, imagine if this was like a sister or imagine if this was like a brother. Then it was just crazy. I was just like, if I feel this way now for like Emmanuel, how am I gonna feel if it's like somebody that I see every other day or I talk to every other day? But death, so far, like I said, like I've been grateful enough to not have to experience anybody that close to me. Emmanuel was Emmanuel was pretty close, but not to the point where we spoke every day. We probably spoke every 3 months, every 2-3 months, checking in. He was very respectful to my marriage now, so that's why we didn't communicate like that. But it's hard. It's hard, and you can only heal how you're set to heal.
Yeah,
gotta take it one day at a time.
My gosh, I thought about you. That's why I was like, man, I forgot to ask this earlier, but I wanted to know just on your standpoint on that. Wow. Okay, so on a lighter note, where do you see yourself? Like, what do you want to manifest moving forward for all things caring, your business, like your family? Where do you see yourself progressing to?
So I see myself selling out of everything on K-Dulce every time. Okay, it's Fashion Nova. Who?
Okay.
K-Dulce Boutique. As far as makeup, I did, I guess, put makeup on a back seat right now. I feel like I'm doing too much. I feel like I'm spreading myself thin. I have a boutique, I do makeup, I have a real 9-to-5, and I feel like I'm doing too much. So that's why I put that. I only do makeup for like weddings and big parties right now and video shoots. But as far as single clients, I'm not taking. But I do want to start, you know, gradually getting makeup sincere back up, rebranding. I have a lipstick line, so I want to rebrand that, start opening up more cosmetic products instead of only the lipstick, branching out to foundations and skincare. Yeah, pretty much get my house. I'm working on getting a house and make sure my kids they are on a roll and they smart and nobody kids playing with them in school and everybody's just nice and, you know, life is just great, traveling the world, you know, and just being serving the Lord and just taking in all the monies that he's gonna be giving me. Okay,
who's that? How you wanted to take a break because you were doing potting, like, you know, being a guest on different podcasts around Miami, which I loved you on. Like, I loved you. I could still see you. But you posted in your story, like, I'm going to take a step back and work on my marriage, my kids, you know, my business, my house, getting everything in order. And I thought that was real. That was some real shit. I was like, yes, as you should. Even though you have so much going on, sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward.
You can't be the jack of all trades, but a master of none, because you over here trying to do everything and so you're not putting your all into one thing. So you're not perfecting it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you're doing three different things. I'm doing the makeup. I got the studio. I got this. I got that. I'm not perfecting my makeup. I'm not perfecting my sales. I'm not, you know, being able to market, posting on Instagram, TikTok, 3 pages on Makeup Sincere page and Kato. It's a lot. And I don't have help. Everything that I've been doing has been on my own. I don't have a team. I don't have help to pack, do my inventory. I don't have help to take on client. I don't have help at all to manage my books. You know how many times I done double booked myself, girl? And it's a lot. And I have to give a free face because I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Don't spread yourself thin. That's why I'm taking a break, you know, so that way you can be perfect at your trade, you know what I'm saying? And that way your money gonna flow.
I love that. So where can the people find you, support you? I'm also going to put in the link in description, but where can they find you and support you?
So I'm just going to give you my Instagram, which is _. I could never say that word. _. I'd be saying _. It's _. It's Karen Mel, ITSKARENMEL. And under that, you'll find my boutique. You'll find my makeup page. You'll find my TikTok, my YouTube. You'll find everything you need about your girl. So
that. Okay. And before we go, what is one motto that you live by?
Real life. You're fucking bad. Old foxes. No, there really is. So
Shout out to the city girls, okay?
hello.
I love that. Karen, you are welcome back anytime. You guys drop it in the description that you want Karen back. Thank you for sitting down with me on Pretty Girl Progression Podcast. And to my ladies, make sure you go grab the 10 tips to personal development as well as the daily devotional. And as always, Queen, love yourself.
Thank you.